name of taking a seat, praise God. That's a beautiful hymn. I'm going to sing a song, and then I'm going to ask Sister Winnie to come. She's going to share a song with us before the pastor comes. Maybe two. He wouldn't know. Whatever. And then after the sermon and before we close, if you'd like to sing again, that's okay. But we're going to sing a song I like, and it's appropriate we sing it this morning. When Mary came to find the tomb of Jesus, the stone was moved, the Lord had gone away. The angel said, "Fear not, for he is risen. Why seek the living here among the dead?" You know, just I mentioned on Thursday, or maybe last week, Brother Hard in 2023, I believe it was, went on to Brand site and found the sermon that he preached about the resurrection. You know, but you would expect there would have been a crowd there to witness it, for he told them plenty of times he was going to rise from the dead. You know, nobody came to witness the resurrection. Nobody was there. And this woman, Mary, when she came, she didn't come to expecting to find a living Jesus. She come to honour the dead. And I love the angel's message here. Why seek the living among the dead? Praise God. What a tremendous event. Let us sing this, and then we'll ask Sister Winnie to come and share. So, when Mary we here as well.
Hallelujah. Glory. praise the Lord. Isn't that beautiful?
Praise God, I tell you. You can sense the presence of the Lord there this morning. God bless you, sister. You know, when her sister was singing that, I was back preaching in Mashingo. And I was seeing Wilbert Mashanda and Brother Nabot. Mainly Brother Wilbert. And when all the people get singing, boy, it's beautiful, really beautiful, really good. You know, first time I went to Zimbabwe, and we had an early morning prayer meeting, real, real early in the morning, and I thought, oh, there's not too many. I thought, there is something like it is over here. You can't get people to prayer meeting. Everybody came, brother. It was in Harare, Joshua Miranda's fellowship. And everybody came. The sisters came with the children on their backs. They knelt on a concrete floor and started praying. And the prophet of God said, when people get down and pray like that, God is obligated to answer. Obligated. And I tell you, God moved. Do you know the sad thing? When you see God moving and working, and you come back home, people think you're exaggerating. They don't believe it. How could so many people get saved? But God is able. God is able. But singing was beautiful. And the pastor had to get the deacons and stuff. When they started praying, he had to tell them to get them to start singing, to stop them praying. And we have no trouble getting any prayer meetings. People stop praying, can't get them started praying. But at that time, there was a move of God. That was 2005. And I tell you, God really moved during that time and right over them years. And, brother, I'm going to have to go back, brother. Me and you, Simon, we'll go, brother. That's just about it. I've took the notion now. Praise God. God good, the Lord bless you all this morning. God bless you all, and we give everyone a warm welcome in their service this morning. And I'm disappointed with King Charlie. To say disappointed is an understatement. He's now a Muslim by his own definition. He got up and he gave a great speech about Ramadan, and he said nothing for Easter. The wee queen every year always had a speech, always had something. I believe she was a real Christian, but I do not believe he is. He's an invader. He's a foreigner. He's a foreigner from the Commonwealth of Israel, stranger from the covenants of God. He believes in different faiths, but there's only one faith. One faith. And it's a sad thing. Sad thing. And yet we're all so serious, starting up, save the king and all them different things. And this place is full of relics. That's all they are. But I'll tell you what, we are going to talk this morning about the living king. The living king, praise God. I was blessed yesterday, and I know everybody's not on Facebook. And there's, I call it, it's really the good, the bad, and the ugly. But there's good on it. Those of us that's on it are trying to promote the good. But I was blessed when I seen Alan. Alan was in Bond Bridge yesterday, and he put the biggest sign you ever seen on Bond Bridge. John 3:16 and everything. And had the music playing and everything. And there were some people weren't happy. But I'll tell you, not so long ago they had, you know that old thing they do on the streets where they sing busking. There wasn't one complaint when the busking. But when the gospel's on it, I'll tell you what, you'll stir the devils up. Brother, you keep going. Because the disciples were took aside and beaten and whipped and battered. Not only that, they said, don't ever preach again in that name of Jesus. And they said, we're not going to stop. We're not stopping. So don't stop, brother. Don't stop. You might have to do a bit of time in jail. You know, I'm serious. Brother, I'm telling you, don't even worry about it. Don't worry about it, because when you're serving the Lord, wherever he takes you, you'll be a witness. Always look at the positive. But that's where it's coming to now. It's near dangerous to do things. Well, dangerous, but sure, what is it? What is this world anyhow? Praise God. You know, there's so many things about I could have preached on about this. And I don't have the time. And I know you don't have the time. But this is not really going to do everything justice what I have in my heart that I want to preach about it. I'd need a month. And I'm not exaggerating a month. I could preach for 1 month every night for a month. Just about the things of the cross. There is so much detail. So much detail. Let's stand our feet this morning. I just want to briefly share with you about the crucifixion. We're going to have communion. And a time where you can pray and thank the Lord this morning. And tonight I want to look at the women in the night that came to that tomb. I've never preached on that before. But I want to look at that tonight, the resurrection. This morning, the crucifixion. Let's read Mark 15, verse 20, just one verse for a text this morning. Praise God. Mark 15, verse 20. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple robe from him and put his own clothes on him and led him out to crucify him. Let's bow our heads again this morning. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you that you were crucified for us. You had no sin of your own, but you bear the sins of the whole world on your own self at that cruel cross. And there you suffered and died alone in my room and in my stead. Lord, I want to thank you this morning for what you've done for me. Want you to give you all the praise. I want to give you all the glory. Every drop of blood that come down your cheeks, down your wounded body, down the cross and into the dust and on the ground. Lord, you paid the ultimate price for our salvation. And by your stripes, your wounds, we are healed. Father, I'm asking you to touch your people this morning. I'm asking you to help me to bring your word out. I'm asking that every spirit will be subject to the Holy Spirit under my voice and in this very room. That your name will be uplifted, that you will receive all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. And Lord, as we come to communion, bless the bread, bless the wine. Sanctify every one of us. Wash us now with your word and cleanse us with your precious blood. And Lord, for the prayer requests this morning, we think of Ruth Santis, Lord, and those that's near and dear to her. Father, will you touch them? Will you lay your hand of mercy upon them? Heal them and save them, we pray. In Jesus' precious name. Lord, move again and we, George and Winifred and any others that couldn't be here this morning. Father, move upon them and speak to them. Restore the backslidden. Move upon your own people. Refresh and renew your people. Help us this day at Easter to remember you. In Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen, amen. You may be seated. Praise God. I want to start after the whipping. And if you go on our website, anybody that's never saw it, omegaministries.co.uk, one of the best accounts of the whipping you will ever hear is on our site by a man called James White. And he didn't believe in healing. And God gave him a supernatural glimpse beyond into that whipping. And he saw it. And after that, he had a miracle ministry. James White, a real miracle ministry. But here, Gethsemane's drops of blood dried up on his body. The legal trial is concluded. The awful scourging at last has stopped. But head Christ lay. The dusty road he still had to go to the cross. With all its wounds in him,
with his beard plucked, with his banks whipped and marred like a ploughed field, with his scars, his hair cut off from his back of his neck, his flesh peeled from his shoulders down over his buttocks. What a picture. This is a wounded lamb. And yet his journey's not finished. He has to still carry the cross. His tormentors, relentless, savage, mocking him still. And somehow unsatisfied with the pain they've already inflicted on him. Here they go, up to Golgotha, up to the crucifixion with the Lord. And when they had left the hole, the praetorium, the soldiers compelled the man, Simon the Cyrenian, to carry the cross of Christ. Christ was so weak from the beating, from the bruising, that he couldn't carry his own cross. He was fallen. He was weak from his wounds, from the amount of blood he had already shed. His life's blood had almost all already drained out of him. But he had set his face as a flint to go to Calvary. He was determined to go. He had to go. And he was going to go. And here Simon Cyrenian, Luke 23:26, chapter 23, verse 26, 27. And as they led him away, they laid hold upon Simon a Cyrenian, coming out of the country, and on him they led the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. And there they followed him a great company of people and women, which had bewailed and lamented. May you just think of them women that loved the Lord. Think of that woman that he cast all them devils out of. She was possessed. Her life was ruined and destroyed. She's in the crowd following. She loves the Lord. I tell you, you think if Lazarus that's been raised from the dead, if all the people, all the miracles, all the ones, remember before this, go back, and you were reading your Bible, Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. He's undergone three separate trials. They're illegal, by the way. They broke their own laws in these trials they had for him. Even Pilate himself didn't want him crucified. And you know, Brother Branham's the only preacher I ever heard make this statement. I'm going to tell you. He said, when they said, "Release Barabbas and crucify Jesus," William Branham said at that moment, when they spoke those words, they exalted Satan to the god of this evil age. What a statement from a prophet of God. And what a reality that was, that they exalted Satan to the god of this evil age. And Satan is still the god of this evil age. But we know, and the Bible's clear, his domain is finished, and his time is almost up. For Christ is coming back again for his people. John 19:17 says, And he bearing his cross went forth into a place called the place of skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha. The place of a skull. Golgotha, Calvary, the name where Savior took his last mortal breath, you could say. When Christ reached Calvary, the Jewish women offered him a drink. It was a drink that was offered to all the victims. All those that was going to be crucified were offered a drink. It was wine mingled with myrrh. It was a narcotic. It was a special substance made, especially with these Jewish women. And the reason for that substance, when it almost put the victim to sleep, it numbed their senses, so that they wouldn't feel the pain that they were now going to feel when the nails were going to be dripped through their hands and dripped through their feet onto this cross. and Jesus already in pain, and Jesus already suffering. For any other person that have been glad for a painkiller, for a narcotic, for someone to knock them out, someone strong. But Christ refuses to drink. He refused to drink because he was going to feel every single bit of suffering and every single bit of pain, because he was taking your pain and my pain and your suffering and my suffering on this cross, and he's refusing this drink so that all this he could feel in his body for me and you. He refuses it. Mark 15:23, and they give him to drink wine mingled with mirth, but he received it not. Christ would face death with all his faculties. Now, as I was in the office and thinking about this, I thought about this. Bear with me for a moment. The first Adam willingly, knowingly took Eve. He knew that Eve was guilty. He knew that Eve had done. But he went into it with his eyes open, and he willingly took Eve, even in her guilt, even in her shame, knowing what had happened. He done it because he loved her and because he was the type of Christ. He took her. And here the second man, the Lord from heaven. The Bible says that sin entered into the world by one man, Adam. But here's another man from heaven, the second man. And he openly, with his eyes open, knowingly, he's entering into the cross, knowing what he's doing. All his faculties have to be about him. For he's taking our place. He's taking our place. Standing in your room, standing in your stead, I want to say this morning, in this service, on this recording, don't ever insult the Lord Jesus Christ or the message of the gospel with a prop-up religion. There's no other works program we have to do or need to do. I want you to know that Jesus Christ has done it all. And everything that's ever going to come on us, he bore it all at Calvary. Bore it all. There's not a lot of detail in the four Gospels, really, about the physical process of the crucifixion. Just the three words. They crucified him. John 19, verse 18 to 19, where they crucified him. Two other with him, one on either side. And Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. And the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. Since the place where Jesus was crucified was not far from the city, many Jews passed by. And they could read this sign written in three languages, Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. The Sanhedrin were outraged by the sign on the cross. They were outraged. Look at John 19, 21 to 22. Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am the King of the Jews. Pilate answered, what I've written, I've written. Pilate had had enough of these boys here at this point. Pilate had had enough. Pilate on questions. His power, you see, Pilate's power really was overruled here. These boys really overruled Pilate. Not only did they overrule Pilate, God had warned Pilate through his wife in a dream, have nothing to do with this man. Remember, Pilate at one point his wife was sons. But washing in water won't cleanse what needs cleansed. And I know we believe in water baptism, but I want to tell you, water baptism does not wash sins away. Only the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, washes the sins away. And it is only through the blood our sins are removed. Hallelujah. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is precious blood. Jesus. He had not wanted to sign Jesus to the crucifixion, so Pilate said, "What have written, have written." The humble Nazarene hanging on the cross was in fact Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. That's who he was. He was the King of the Jews. Not only was he the King of the Jews, but he was a King of kings, and he was the Lord of lords, and he's coming again. Crucifixion was a slow death. It was one of the most disgraceful and cruel methods of execution, and usually were reserved for only for slaves, foreigners, revolutionaries, and the vilest of criminals. Roman law usually protected Roman citizens from crucifixion, except perhaps in the case of a deserted soldier. It was customary for the condemned man to carry his own cross from the flagging post to the site of the crucifixion outside the city walls. He would usually be naked, unless this was prohibited by the customs, local customs. And since the weight of the entire cross was probably at least 300 pounds in weight, follow me here this morning, 136 kilos, only the crossbar was carried. This cross was in two parts. The platinum wing, that's the bit that goes across, 75 to 125, 34 to 57 kilos in weight. Now you might say this morning, "Oh, I could carry 50 kilos in weight." I know you could. I know many of us could carry it. But hold on a minute. This man's been beaten almost to the point of death. And the devil done his best to kill him at the whipping post, but God stopped it. Because he had to go the whole way to Calvary. And he's not in his normal strength here. He's at his very weakest. And this is placed across the back of the victim's neck, balanced across the back along the shoulders. Usually the outstretched arms, then were tied to the crossbar. The procession to the site of the crucifixion was led by a complete Roman military guard headed by a centurion. And I looked up some of these things. These guards and these soldiers were in the hundreds. This is heavily guarded. One soldier carried a sign in which the condemned man's name and crime was displayed. Later the sign would be attached to the top of the cross. The Roman guard would not leave the victim until he was sure of death. He would stay with them. And they decided the execution. Stay the whole time. By law, he had to do it. That was the soldier who was told to do it. The victim was given a bitter drink, what we've mentioned, of vinegar, mingled with gall, a mild antibiotic, whatever you want to call it, a painkiller. You know, when people's coming near their last, you know, they give them the real toughest thing to kill the pain. Suffering. Some of us that have had loved ones that's went on, we know all about it. And you know, when they reach that stage, you know they haven't long left to go. And here the Lord's reached this stage. Normally at this point, there's not long left to go. They give them the narcotic, the painkiller. Criminals was then thrown to the ground. Think of this, it's nailed to it. It's on his back, he's thrown to the ground. His arms right stretched along the tabulium, this crossbar. The hands could be nailed or tied to this. But nailing was a preferred way by the Romans. Next to feet were fixed to the cross, either by the nails or ropes. Though the feet could be fixed to the sides of the strips, the wooden cross. Usually they were nailed directly to the foot, the front, and the stripes. As wee bits was put on it, they were nailed to it. And since no one was intended to survive crucifixion, the body was not released to the family until the soldiers were sure that the victim was really dead. I tell you, this was a cruel thing. A real cruel thing. And you think of those thieves that was on his side on the cross, hanging with him. Praise God. Now, let me take my time for a moment. I'll not rush. You see, this is a fulfillment of what David's prophecy concerning Christ suffering death on our behalf, delivering us from the penalty of sin. David prophesied it. Psalms 22, verse 11 to 18. I'm going to read you. Be not far from me, for trouble is near. There's none to help. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouths as ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. My tongue cleaveth and my jaws. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death, for dogs have compassed me. Now when you read of dogs in the Bible, that is demons, evil spirits. Compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and feet. Some people say he was nailed through the wrist. But the Bible's absolutely clear here in the book of Psalms. They nailed my hands on my feet, not his wrists. You realize you cannot break one scripture. That the Bible dovetails from Genesis to Revelations. Right through the hands he was nailed, right through the feet he was nailed. I may tell all my bones, they look and stir upon me, they part my garments among them, they cast lots upon my vesture. They had a whole thing about his clothes. When they crucified Jesus, nailed him to the cross. John 19, verse 23, and then the soldiers, when they crucified him, took his garments, made four parts to their every soldier part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. I preached a whole sermon all about the coat once, but I don't know if anybody remembers it. But I've preached a lot of these things over the years. Don't even know where the notes myself. I've lost that many things moving and stuff. That there's a whole sermon in the coat. Every single thing about this Bible is spiritual meaning. Matthew 27, 39 to 42. They have passed by, reviled me, wagging their heads, saying, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest in 3 days, save thyself. Thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests mocking him, and the scribes and elders said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. Billy Sunday said these wonderful words. Who's ever heard of Billy Sunday? Billy Sunday was an American evangelist. Let me tell you, just for a moment. The time of the probation in America, when there was the drink, that all the trouble of the drink, Billy Sunday had several men that traveled with him. One of them was second in line to be the heavyweight champion of the world. These are the type of fellas Billy Sunday knew and had. They went round and they burst at the bars of drink. They cupped everything over and kicked it over and had a good row. Then they preached the gospel to them. That's Billy Sunday. And when Billy Sunday preached, he acted what he preached. He'd even been known to get down his hands and knees and do things like a dog. If he was talking about a dog and different things, he'd acted out in the pulpit. He was a real character. But Billy Sunday said these wonderful words. He said, if Jesus had moved one finger at a signal, 10,000 angels would have took him down to the cross in a moment. He didn't do it because he was dying and suffering for me and you. For me and you, and the angels couldn't move. As Christ hung on the cross, he spoke 7 times. This is where we get the message, the 7 signs of the cross. That's where it comes from. Christ uttered 7 different times, some of them in prayer. The first and most famous is found in Luke 23, verse 34. And he said, and then said Jesus, Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Now read this verse. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. I tell you this, we know it was spoken for us today, but this is spoken. Go back to the cross. Remember, Jesus is on the cross. Jesus is looking down. The soldiers is fighting and fussing over his clothes and over his garments. And I believe that in mercy, Jesus Christ has forgiven them, even while he watches what they're doing. And I tell you, we as Christians, sometimes if we are offended, we can't even forgive another brother in the Lord. It's an awful big thing, isn't it? Is that the truth or not? It's absolutely the truth I'm preaching. But here the Lord Jesus looks down, and these fellas have beaten him. They've spit on him, they've pulled his beard out. They've done everything to him. He's an excuse he could condemn them. He doesn't do it. He says, Father, forgive them. I tell you, when you talk about I want the Spirit of Jesus, there's it. There it is. When thou art reviled, revile not again. That's the Spirit of Jesus Christ. I want to tell you, I know of churches, and some people don't believe the same as them. When they meet each other from the 2 different groups, they don't even shake hands when they're out. Brother Larry, the one goes past the other. They don't even hardly look at each other. I want to tell you, that is not the Spirit of Jesus Christ. That's the spirit of this world. That's the Antichrist spirit. This is the Spirit of Jesus Christ here. Father, forgive them. Didn't the Lord say, teach us how to pray? The Lord taught us, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us. I tell you, when you forgive, God will forgive you. Isn't that right? This was spoken for these soldiers who had nailed him to the cross. We're now dividing up his clothes and playing a game of chance for his coat. He watched him kneel to the rough wooden cross, blood dripping from his hands and his feet. Lifted higher than any other being on Calvary. The Savior was able to observe men who had inflicted the worst wounds upon a body was on him. And you know the sermon I've preached before about the 5 wounds of Christ, the 5 worst medical wounds. I preached the sermon on many times. Atop the hill, Christ was flanked by 2 thieves who were divided in their opinion of him. Now we know that if you study this carefully, they both gnashed on him with their teeth. But during the time on the cross and the darkness and all the events and all the miracles that were happening, the Spirit of God moved one of these men. And he stood up for Jesus. One of them mocked, the other believed. Luke 23, verse 41 to 43. And we indeed justly, for we received due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus says unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. This man was saved there and then. And he made paradise that same day. What a Savior. The 6th and 7th commandments. And I'm finishing. Almost finished. The 6th and 7th commandments from the cross. Probably we uttered at the same time. John 19, verse 30. When Jesus therefore received the vinegar, he said, "It's finished. It's finished." This is a sixth saying of Christ to the cross. This is a famous saying. How many preachers have preached from this saying? It's finished. When someone's finished, it means what it says. The work's completed. The work's done. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Here we see the sixth sign of Christ, the cross, it's finished. But don't stop there in John. We're reading all the Gospels. Luke 23, verse 46. Here again is a prayer. When Jesus cried with a loud voice, he said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." Having said thus, he gave up the ghost. This is the final saying. It's the parting of Christ. It's finished, and he commends his spirit to the Father. And how often we struggle with things, and we struggle with this and struggle with that. Jesus is our example here this morning. We need to give it to the Father. Just like Jesus committed to the Father. Whatever our problem is, we need to commit it to the Father. The last saying of Christ on the cross. Prayer. Just as the first and the fourth saying were also prayers. This is very similar to the prayer that David prayed, and I'm almost finished. Psalms 31, verse 5. Into thy hand I commit my spirit. That thou redeem me, O Lord God of truth. This last saying of Christ is honoring God. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Commend means to formally praise, applaud, entrust something in a public official manner. And Christ on the cross is entrusting himself to the Father. Now I know some people believe it so religious that it's one lick your finger here. But we do not believe that. Because God did not die at Calvary. Christ died. Christ died on the cross. But God never died. But it was God that raised Christ from the dead. And it was God that turned his back on him and abandoned him. And he prayed, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He's commending himself to the Father. Yes. That's what we need to do. We need to give it to God. There's some things and we don't know how to fix them. We need to just give them to the Lord. Will you bow your heads with me this morning? Praise God. We're going to have communion and the time if anybody wants to pray. Thank the Lord this morning. We come back tonight, the Lord willing, and the Lord's always willing. But I want to give opportunity if someone wants prayer here this morning. Lift your hand up before the Lord, or someone's listening in. I want to pray for you. God bless you. God bless you. Christ died for every one of us. Shed his blood. Precious life's blood. To cleanse our sins. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you. That you died in our room and you died in our stead. And you took our place completely at Calvary. Cursed is everyone that hangeth upon a tree. Lord, the curse that was on this world from the garden, you lifted it at the cross. Father, thank you this morning for your mercy, for your grace, for your love and your truth you've showed to each one of us. Lord, I pray for the hands raised. You'll meet every single need. Pray, Lord Jesus, you bless the remainder of the service. Bless the mothers, the children, every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, and anyone that's listening in, maybe someone that's not saved. May they be like this faith. May they call on your name. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, if we confess you with our mouth and believe in our heart that God has raised you from the dead, we shall be saved. Father, I ask you'll save men and women. Prayer, bless these emblems, bless the bread, bless the wine as we take communion. Remind me this morning that if any suffering in the body, Lord, with ailments or affliction or spiritual, I pray you'll heal them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Accept it now, Lord, our prayers as we commit ourselves to you. Bless the bread and the wine as we partake of it. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. I just want to read you a few verses from Corinthians, and we're going to have communion. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23-34. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it. Take and eat, this is my body which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the new testament of my blood, this do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat that bread and drink that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. But if we should judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, and we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together unto condemnation, and the rest will I set in order when I come. I'm going to ask the deacons to come, and maybe the deacons could just play something softly this week. But if you're saved and serving the Lord, you're welcome to... Protect communion, remember the Lord with us.